And welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman, and this is the program we focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. On today's program, we're going to be focusing in on the music and the hymns of Fanny Crosby. Never heard of her? You will learn about this most amazing blind hymnal writer. Let's continue with your music, but first let's open with prayer. Father, thank you for this time. I pray you bless this program. Thank you for your love. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
The Untold Story of Fanny Crosby, writer of Blessed Assurance and other popular hymns. Frances Jane Van Alstyne, commonly known as Fanny Crosby, was an American mission worker, poet, lyricist, and composer. She was a prolific hymnist, writing more than 8,000 hymns and gospel songs with more than 100 million copies printed. Crosby was born on March 24, 1820 in Southeast New York, United States of America. Fanny was the only child of widower John Crosby and his second wife, Mercy Crosby, and had a half-sister from her father's first marriage. Crosby married a fellow teacher, Alexander Van Alstyne, in March 1858, who was also blind. According to her autobiography, at 6 weeks old, Crosby caught a cold and developed inflammation of the eyes. Mustard poultices were applied to treat the discharges. According to Crosby, this procedure damaged her optic nerves and blinded her, but modern physicians think that her blindness was more likely congenital and, given her age, may simply not have been noticed by her parents. And to worsen the situation, Crosby lost her father to death when she was only 6 months old, and she was raised by her devout mother and maternal grandmother. Despite these early tragedies, Crosby grew to be an active and happy child. Crosby was known as the Queen of Gospel Songwriters and as the mother of modern congregational singing in America, with most American hymnals containing her work. At about 1864, Crosby began writing hymns, but her hymns suffered generally from cliché-tilde copyright and sentimentality, but they also display an occasional gleam of more than ordinary talent. In all, Crosby wrote between 5,500 and 9,000 hymns. The best known of her hymns included "Safe in the Arms of Jesus," "Blessed Assurance," "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," "I Am Thine, O Lord, to God be the glory, rescue the perishing, the bright forever, and Savior, more than life to me." Crosby set a goal of winning a million people to Christ through her hymns, and whenever she wrote a hymn, she prayed it would bring women and men to Christ, and kept careful records of those reported to have been saved through her hymns. No wonder Crosby was the most prolific of all 19th century American sacred songwriters. Crosby described her hymn writing process: "It may seem a little old-fashioned, always to begin one's work with prayer, but I never undertake a hymn without first asking the good Lord to be my inspiration." Her capacity for work was incredible and could often compose 6 or 7 hymns a day. Her poems and hymns were composed entirely in her mind, and she worked on as many as 12 hymns at once before dictating them to an amanuensis. While Crosby was known today primarily as a prolific hymn writer, Fanny Crosby was also an influential figure in the rescue mission movement of the late 19th century, notably in New York City, where she lived most of her adult life. Crosby had lived for decades in such areas of Manhattan as Hell's Kitchen, the Bowery, and the Tenderloin. She was aware of the great needs of immigrants and the urban poor, and was passionate to help those around her through urban rescue missions and other compassionate ministry organizations. According to Crosby, "From the time I received my first check for my poems, I made up my mind to open my hand wide to those who needed assistance," and throughout her life, she was described as having a horror of wealth, because she never set prices for her speaking engagements, often refused honoraria, and what little she did accept she gave away almost as soon as she got it. Fanny Crosby died at Bridgeport of arteriosclerosis and a cerebral hemorrhage on February 12, 1915, after a 6-month illness, aged 94. She was buried at Mountain Grove Cemetery in Bridgeport, CT, near her mother and other members of her family. Her family erected a very small tombstone at her request, which carried the words, "Aunt Fanny, she hath done what she could." Fanny J. Crosby. What can be learned from the life of Fanny Crosby? 1. The power of faith. The Christian faith was central to Fanny's life and work. She poured out her heart writing hymns, many of which are still sung today, nearly 200 years after her birth. Songs such as Blessed Assurance and To God Be the Glory are treasured classics in many denominations. As a Christian, Fanny understood the importance of looking forward. When a preacher once remarked that it was a pity Fanny could not see because she had been given so many other gifts, Fanny responded, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." What an outlook! By seeing the larger view of life, Fanny did not become bogged down by her physical challenges. She lived with purpose, anticipating what was to come. It is worthy of note that Crosby memorized 5 chapters of the Bible each week from age 10, and by age 15, she had memorized the 4 Gospels, the Pentateuch, the Book of Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, and many of the Psalms. 2. The power of missions and advocacy. The slum conditions of New York City in Fanny's lifetime were abysmal. Fanny herself lived in a poor area of town, and although she was a well-known songwriter and speaker, she chose to dedicate her later years to helping the poor. Her passion became one of assisting immigrants by donating the proceeds from her writing and speaking to ministry organizations in New York City. Dear listener and reader, if despite different challenges faced by Fanny Crosby yet stood for the Lord in her generation to be a channel of blessing to save unbeliever through her hymn and rescue mission work, what are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Powerful story about the life of the one we're focused on today. She was blind. We so many times let our weaknesses, the things that we see in our life and the trials, keep us from doing all we can. But she was an amazing, amazing lady. Let's listen to another song, hymn she wrote.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from God. Softly,
I'm going to read our Bible study before we listen to a few more songs by Fanny Crosby. This will be what we'll be studying today, John chapter 6. I hope you've got your Bible. 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am the bread, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who shall hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
Tell me the story of Jesus.
Sweetest.
throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. O'er the height and depth of mercy, o'er the length and breadth of love, o'er the fullness of redemption, face to face, my Lord, I see. All the height and depth of mercy, all the length and breadth of love, all the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless love. Of endless life above, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above.
Jesus has been talking. He fed these thousands of people bread, and they came looking for him. John 6 is the continuation of a discussion he's having. He mentioned a place I've actually been to. I've been to the ruins of Capernaum on where the Sea of Galilee is at. There's a synagogue there. I believe it is the second synagogue. It wouldn't have been that synagogue. Synagogues were Jewish prayer houses. On one side would have been the lectern. They there and then a certain place for women. Not a huge building. So Jesus is talking, and there's some points he makes that are important. First of all, he is trying to get them to believe in him. That's his point. And they want one thing. In John chapter 6, verse 26, it says, "Verily, verily, I say," and they all come and find him. "I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did to eat of the loaves and were filled." They don't really want the miracles, the spiritual reality Jesus is promising. They want the bread. They want what they can get from Jesus, but they don't want how he wants them to believe. So he says, let me explain something to you. He says, first of all, the Father draws people to him. And those that he draws to him, they're going to raise him up the last time. Jesus, people respond to the drawing of the Father. When he compels them, he wants them in the kingdom. And then he explains that it's all to reinforce who he is. He says, as is written in the prophets, this comes from Isaiah 54:13, they shall all be taught of God, meaning he's teaching them. And if you hear and have learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Meaning he is the true, if you got God, you're going to come to Jesus. They thought they had God, they didn't want to come to him. And then 47, we see verily, verily, again, he's already mentioned this in verse 26, 32, 53. It says, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. He says, let me boil it down to you. If you believe on me, you have everlasting life. I'm the bread of life. Now, in the Old Testament, when they were out in the wilderness, God had provided bread every day for them, other than the Sabbath, where they had to collect extra for that day. And in 49, it says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Meaning, they're died. They ate it and eventually they died. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. He's the bread of life. there's 5 points that I got from Dwight Pentecost. Number one, he's offering eternal life, meaning this goes on and on. You're not going to die. Number two, and he says it in verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Meaning, its origin is from heaven, this bread. And when you eat it, you're not going to be like the people who died eating the manna in the desert. Another point is, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He's foreshadowing that he will die for the world. He's talking about his flesh, but he's meaning in a spiritual sense. But his flesh, yeah, he's going to give up his flesh for the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're discussing it. Well, what does that mean? Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, there it is again. Mentioned in 47, 26, 32, and 53. Right here he says, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in me. You have to take all of him in. You have to come to a place where you accept his blood, you accept his flesh. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has ever eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. He's talking about the spiritual reality. Because remember in 47, believeth on me has everlasting life. I'm going to raise you up. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He's foreshadowing what he will do on the cross. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Again, dwelleth, having a relationship with him in Christ. Couple other points I miss. In verse 35, he's already said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. The idea of you're satisfied in Christ. You don't have to go for more spiritual. He is the final one. And he already mentioned in verse 40, and then he mentioned he'll raise him up, the resurrection. This isn't something that you're going to experience and it's terminated or it ends, and it's in Christ. It's in Christ. And they're discussing among themselves. He says, I'm the one that you have to come to grips with. We go on. Verse 58. This is the bread that came down. He is saying so clearly, if you want the one from heaven, if you want life, you've got to have me. 59, where it happened. Many, therefore, of his disciples meaning the large group that's there, when they heard this saying, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? They understood what he was saying, and they didn't like it. They're like, I'm offended by that. I don't want it your way, Jesus. I want it my way. When Jesus knew in himself the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? He's like, are you offended by this? What, and if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He says, what if you see the Son of Man? Son of Man is from Daniel. It was a term for the one who will reign. He says, what if he goes up to heaven where he came from before? He says, what if it's true? What if you see that? And then we get into 63 to show he's not talking about physical eating him. He's talking about spiritual. It is the spirit that quicketh or brings to life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He's talking about a spiritual birth, being born again from John 3. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man could come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. It's so offensive to them that he is claiming this unique relationship with the Father. That he's claiming that the only way to get to the Father is through him. And in fact, the response is one of the saddest verses. I just think it's so sad. Verse number 64, he says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Of course, Judas and the Jews, he sees if we believe or not. And this is the sad verse. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They just leave. They're like, we're not doing that. We don't like that. We want the bread. We don't want the Savior. We don't want you, Jesus. We want your the tricks you can do that bless us. Then Jesus said unto the 12, those 12 that were called, will you also go away? That's a question all of us need to answer. Do we want to stay with Jesus on his terms and his way and who he is? And Peter says this. Then Simon Peter answered him, obviously answering for all of them. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This one author wrote, to accept the truth is to forsake all attempts to find ultimate meaning in the blank of human experience. In other words, it's got to be Christ or nothing else. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Powerful stuff. But then Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is of the devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So Jesus could see him, and he can see us. And the question is, do we want religion? Do we want what this earth has to offer? Or do we want the real thing that God gives us, Jesus Christ, a relationship? Over and over again, he has said, believe, 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 believe. He that believeth on me has everlasting life. He is the bread of life. And what does that mean? That means we're satisfied. That means we have heaven. That means that we're going to be resurrected at the last time. That means it's in Christ. That means it can't be taken away. It is the real deal. If you're that person that wants the living bread, I want to pray with you right now. Pray with me. Say, God, I want what it's talking about. I don't want the dead bread. I want the bread of life, Jesus Christ. I believe he died for me and rose from the dead, and I can have life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Looking above.
I'd love to hear from you if there's a certain genre of Christian music or you would like more information, me to maybe research a song, email me. Tell me a suggestion for future programs on the Hour of Hope. My email is mathewroman@gmail.com. I also want to give a shout out to Beer, who's one of my faithful listeners. Always appreciate the encouragement. Let's finish off with a few more of Fanny Crosby. I hope you have been blessed. Maybe you didn't know about her and you learned. I think she's an amazing, amazing Christian woman and just reminds all of us to not let our boundaries or the things that get in the way stop us from serving the Lord. I have a YouTube channel called By the Bible where I do different interviews, Bible teaching, and I would love it if you could find it on YouTube and subscribe to it. It's By the Bible. I believe it's By the Bible 1. You can find it. You can email me again, MatthewVroman@gmail.com, and ask, and I'll send you the link. May God rich you blessedly. And it's not about give you all this stuff and you have health. It's about doing what you can, where you're at, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. I'll see you next week. This has been Pastor Matthew on the Hour of Hope. God bless you. And have a good week. Bye.